10:32. Okay, let's just go into the word this morning. Let us agree in prayer. Thank you, Father, for your spirit that you have so richly given unto us upon your resurrection. Our hearts are full with thanksgiving, and we say thank you, Lord Jesus. We ask and receive this morning that the truth of your word is to be accuracy. With clarity, with precision, there is no confusion, no contradiction. Our hearts are receptive to receive your word this morning, and we declare and decree that at the end of today's meeting, as saints, we are edified and Christ alone is glorified. Hallelujah. Yeah, go with me all the way to 1 Corinthians 12. Let's do 1 Corinthians 12 this morning, and let's just see a few things, okay? Now, if you look through verse 1, look at verse 1. Look at verse 1. Now, concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I would not have you to be ignorant. Look at that one more time. Now, concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I would not have you to be ignorant. Now, we started dissecting this chapter on Wednesday. And then we looked through verse 1 properly as much as we could on Wednesday. And we said the word there, concerning, is a word that deals with regarding. The word that speaks about a discussion around a subject matter or regarding a subject matter or pertaining a subject matter, so to say. Right? So, Paul says, now concerning spirituals. Now, one of the things you must understand is the way he sort of starts that chapter seems to me or to us or to, you know, Bible students as though he was addressing certain questions that the church in Corinth had on their mind. How do we know that? If you go back all the way to 1 Corinthians chapter 7, go all the way to 1 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 1. 1 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 1. 1 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 1. Are you there? Yes, sir. What does the verse 1 say? Now concerning what? The things whereof ye wrote unto me. Does that make sense to you? So does it look like they wrote a letter to Paul, and in the letter they had what? Questions. All together. And that's why he's saying, well, now concerning the things whereof you wrote unto me, it is good for a man not to touch a woman. Have you not realized that a lot of times we don't take that verse out of context? Which man reads this verse? And what he gets from it is that Paul says it is good for a man not to touch a woman. You get the point? Yeah? No married man will say, Paul said, imagine you are married and your wife want to touch your wife, and your wife says, Paul says, it is good for a man. What will you say to her? Read in context. We would like to read in context when it will benefit us. Right? Yeah, but if you read in context truly, really, you realize that he is not talking about placing your hands on a woman. Right? But he's actually talking about, look at the next verse, nevertheless, to avoid fornication. So it means the touching in verse 1 is not just to lay your hands. Are we together? Right? Now, if you go to verse 25. That's not my topic today. We are doing spiritual gifts. Hallelujah. Except that's part of spiritual gifts. Is it? Look at verse 25. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 25. Now concerning virgins, I have no commandment of the Lord, yet I give my judgment as one that hath obtained mercy of the Lord to be faithful. I suppose, therefore, that this is good for present distress. I say this is good for a man so to be. Now, if you look at chapter 8, now as touching, are you seeing it again? I see the consistency. Yeah. Now as touching, can we say now regarding? So could it mean that the church in Corinth had questions around what? Idols. So it says, now as touching things offered to idols, we know that we all have knowledge. Knowledge puffeth up, but charity edifies. Look at verse 4. It says, as concerning therefore the eating of those things that are offered to idols in sacrifice, we know that an idol is nothing in this world, and that there is none other God but one. Are we together? If you read chapter 16, 1 Corinthians, I'm in chapter 16 now. Now concerning the, that means there were subject matters that Paul was addressing. Look at chapter 16, verse 1. Now concerning the collection for the saints, as I have given order to the churches of Galatia, even so do ye. Okay? So if you now go back to chapter 12 where we are, it says, now concerning spirituals, brethren, I will not have you to be what? Ignorant. We said the word there, spiritual, is the word pneumaticos in the Greek. I'll spell that for you again like I did on Wednesday. pneumatikos, P-N-E-M-A-T-I-K-O-S, pneumatikos. That is gotten from two words, pneuma. Yeah, I think there's a U there, if I'm not mistaken. P-N-E-U-M-A. There's a U, right? Thank you. Yeah, there's supposed to be a U. Right, so it's P-N-E-U-M, correct? A. Then tikos, right? Pneumatikos, right? And that word pneuma is a word that is used for spirits. Are we together? Then tikos is a word that is used for things of. So when Paul says now concerning spirituals, he's saying now regarding the things regarding the spirit. Did you see what I just did there? Right? Because the word concerning there is a word that speaks about focus, to put your attention on the matter. Right? So now regarding the things. So pneumatikos is pneumatikos. Tikos will be the things of. So now regarding the things of the spirit. He now says brethren. Now the word there, brethren, in the Greek is the word adelphos. Adelphos. I'll spell that for you as well. A-D-E-L-P-H-O-S. That should be correct. Adelphos. A-D-E-L-P-H-O-S. Adelphos. Now, brethren does not mean that he is speaking to the male species in Corinthians. No. He's actually speaking to people that have a commonality. Right? You know, if you read Paul in Galatians, you'll see there's neither male, neither female, neither, you know, Jew, Greek. And what is it saying there, really? He's saying that when it comes to the gathering of the saints, when it comes to where we want to relate as those in Christ, we don't consider gender altogether. We don't consider economical status, right? We don't consider, you know, political status or political, but no, it's about the work of Christ in the resurrection. So the word brethren is a word that means those from the same womb, that is, those that have a commonality, we are related by blood. Is that true?
Yes,
is that true?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, you didn't get it? Yeah. Are Christians related by blood?
Yes.
Oh, yes, we are related by blood. Right? Yeah. Where your mind shouldn't go to is the blood from your father's lineage. Yeah. We are related by, because we have the same inheritance based on the work of the blood. Are we together? And we said the blood is about his life. Is that right?
Yeah.
Yeah. The blood is about his life. So what washed away our sins? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Right? Your mind ought not to go to the liquid and substances that flew out from his body, but actually his life upon the resurrection. Are we together? So his spirit in us is what makes us brethren. So Paul will write to a Corinthian church and say, brethren, I would not have you to be what?
Ignorant.
Now that word ignorance, there's a word that means to shun knowledge. The word ignorance there means to shun or to despise knowledge. So I will not have you to what? Refuse to recognize, that's it. I will not have you to stay in willful ignorance, right? I will not have you to stay in the dark on this matter. So it means a believer can actually be in the dark regarding the things of the spirit. Is that true? Yeah? Paul is saying, regarding the things of the spirit, I will not want you to remain in the dark or to be in the dark or to be ignorant. That means there are things about the things of the spirit that you ought to know. Did you hear what I said? There are things about the things of the spirit that you ought to know. There are things about the things of the spirit that you ought to know. There are things about the things of the spirit that you ought to know. So you've got to give yourself to knowledge to know about it. You have to give yourself to knowledge to know about it. Are we together? It says in verse 2, ye know that ye were Gentiles carried away unto dumb idols, even as ye were led. Wherefore I give you to understand that no man speaking by the Spirit of God calleth what? Jesus accursed. Right? And that no man say that Jesus is the Lord but by the Holy Ghost. Right? No man say that Jesus is the Lord by the Holy Ghost. No, he now goes to verse 4. But before you go to verse 4, go to chapter 2 of the same 1 Corinthians. Go to 1 Corinthians 2. Go to 1 Corinthians 2 and go to verse 9. Hey there. First Corinthians 2, verse 9. It says, but as it is what?
As it is written.
There sins. Are we in church?
Yes, sir.
As it is written, I have not what?
Seen.
No ears heard. Neither has it entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for them that love him. Are we together? Yeah. Is that your house? Is that your car? Is that your dream mansion? Is that your dream power bike? Is that your dream job? No. No. Yeah. So I had not seen, nor ear heard, neither have it entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for them that love him. But there's a word in verse 10 I want to look at very well. It says, but God has what? Revealed. But God has what? Revealed them unto us by his spirit. So, Paul does not leave 1 Corinthians 2 verse 9 open-ended. Are we here? Paul doesn't leave 1 Corinthians 2 verse 9 open-ended. Yeah? So we don't go to 1 Corinthians 2 verse 9 and all we are rushing to get there is that, you know, God has promised us that there are certain things that I have not seen that he will give to us. Are we together? He closes that loop by saying, but God. Say, but God.
God.
Hallelujah. Yeah? But God has what? Revealed. Is it God will? God will? God will? Have, is had there a past tense? Is has a past tense? Yeah? So God has what? Revealed unto them. How? By his Spirit. For the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. For what man knoweth the things of God, save the spirit of man which is in him? Even so the things of God knoweth no man but the spirit of what? God. Now look at verse 12 carefully. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but what? Spirit which is of God. So is it we will receive? No, we have received. Say, I have received the Spirit which is of God. So it says we have received the Spirit of God that we might what? Know the things that are freely given to us of God. So are there things given to us?
Yes.
Are we to know?
Yes.
Can a man be given something and doesn't know?
Yeah.
Are we together? Yeah? You know, a man can have a father who has $1 million or £1 million and puts that money, right, in his name. Are we together? And the child doesn't know. And when the father passes, what does the child go around doing? Goes around to beg. For, please, I cannot eat more than once a day. Can you give me money? Please, I cannot eat. Yeah? Does the fact that that child is begging eradicate the fact that he has £1 million? So who is that child? That child is one who has £1 million that is begging. Is his financial status that of a beggar?
No.
Listen to what I just asked though. Is his financial status that of a beggar?
No.
Is he a beggar?
Yes.
Yes and no.
Yes.
Are we together?
Yes.
Is he a beggar?
Yes.
Is he a beggar based on reality?
No.
Is he a beggar based on position?
No.
Is he a beggar based on inheritance?
No.
Is he a beggar based on activity? So a man can be rich and act beggarly. Is that correct?
Yeah.
A man can be wealthy and what? Act poor. Are we together? A man can be wealthy and act poor. And that's the same thing about the things of the Spirit, right? A man who is a believer has the entirety of God's wealth on his inside. Are we together? That's why Paul says, don't be ignorant about that fact. Don't shun that knowledge. So it's something that needs to be taught in local assembly. Is that right? It's something the believer needs to learn. It's something the believer needs to be taught. It's something the believer needs to actually be shown. Altogether, what happens to the boy who was begging around and his father's lawyer finally got a hold of him? Right? And in getting a hold of him, his father's lawyer now brought him to the bank and said, that's your name. That's how much you have in your account. What has the lawyer done to him? The lawyer has revealed. Is that right? The lawyer has shown. Is it the point where the lawyer points his attention to his bank account that the money got there? No. So is it the lawyer that put the money there? Yeah. So who's the lawyer? In regards to the believer, your teacher, Abby, right? So your teacher, your pastor, is the one that takes you to the bank and shows you that is what you've got. Before we thought of going to the bank, you had it. Once we stepped into the bank, you had it. When we called the account officer, you had it. It was in your possession. So what happens to one who goes to the back and eventually sees it? He says, wow. You see, what happens? What does he now do from there? He begins to take and spend. All the people he took loan from, he go and what? Repay them back. Out of where? The riches of what he has. Are you with me? The riches of what he has. So it means that what? We are to dispense from the riches that we have. You saw that song we sang this morning? Yeah? We are to dispense from the riches we have. So when a believer wants to dispense the things of the Spirit, he is not looking for where it is. Rather, he is looking into where it is. There's a difference. He's not looking for where. So when a lawyer shows the son that you have £1 million, I want to get that. Yeah? He doesn't need to go to Barclays Bank to go and be asking, do I have money with you? When the lawyer showed him his money is in Bank of Scotland. I want to get that. So we're not, he's not saying, I'm in Barclays Bank, I want to check if my money is here. They say no. I'm in HSBC Bank, I want to check my money is here. He says no. I'm in Bank of Halifax. He says no. I'm in NatWest. He says no. So the believer is not hopping and jumping and looking for. Are you with me?
Yes, sir.
The believer is not hopping and jumping and looking for, but the believer is looking into, looking onto, looking to. Are we together? So Paul says that you will not be ignorant regarding the subject matter, the things of the Spirit that you already have. So there's a lot on your inside. You see why the example of £1 million cannot justify my example? It's because £1 million can finish one day. So me using £1 million is just to make you see an example of what it can be. But £1 million is not the accurate example to speak about the things of the Spirit. A better way to see it might be, for every £1 million you have, for every £20,000 you remove, it remains. Are we here? For every £100,000 you remove, it remains. So you don't take from the Spirit and it reduces. You take from the Spirit and it remains. Are you here? So when it comes to the things of the Spirit, what your mind needs to focus on is, what do you have? What do you have on your inside? What have you received? What do you have? What is in your name? What is your inheritance? Go to Ephesians chapter 1 quickly this morning. Ephesians chapter 1. Alright. So, Ephesians 1:3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Who has what? Blessed us with all what? Spiritual blessings. Are we together? So, is there any believer that lacks spiritual blessings? Is there any believer that will receive? Is there any believer that will receive spiritual blessing based on Ephesians 1? No. Why? Because it is, he has blessed. You have it. Say, I have it.
Amen.
Say, I have it.
Amen.
Right? So it says, the word they're blessed just means to speak well. So we speak well of a God who has blessed us. That means he has spoken well. What has he said? Look at verse 7. In whom we have redemption through his blood. And what? Forgiveness of sins. Now, what is the forgiveness of God's sin according? It is what? According to the riches of his grace. According to the wealth of his grace. Are we together? Right? Having made known unto us, verse 9, the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure, which he had proposed in himself, that in the dispensation of the fullness of time, he might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth, even in him. Now look at verse 11 carefully. In whom also what? Are we here? In whom also we have obtained an inheritance. In whom also we've obtained what? Praise God. We've obtained an inheritance. So, are we going to obtain an inheritance?
No.
Is that boy going to obtain an inheritance? So, is he waiting to obtain an inheritance? Because his name has been attached to that inheritance. So, who is responsible for giving the inheritance? The Father. Are we together? Who is responsible for giving you an inheritance? God the Father. Are we together? Remember what we taught on Wednesday, Ezekiel 36. I will take you from among the heathen. And what? And what? Sprinkle clean. But before sprinkle clean, what will happen? Give you a land now. I've forgotten the land. And what did you say the land is about? The work of the Spirit. So every believer has an inheritance. Are we together? Every believer has an inheritance. So he says, verse 11, Ephesians 1:11, don't lose out on this. In whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of him who worketh all things after the counsel of his own will. Verse 12 says that we should be to the praise of his glory, who first trusted in who? In Christ. Let's read verse 30 together. 1, 2, 3, go. In whom he also trusted, after that he heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also, after that ye believed, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. Which is what? Verse 14. Which is the earnest of inheritance until the redemption of the what? Purchased possession. Let me give you a quick example I always use. Right? A man goes into the market, right? And he gets into the market. I've used this example for years, right? And I used to use the woman, Mrs. Madam, Mommy, and what did I call her name again? Mrs. Bola, right? Yeah, there's a woman who, or a man who goes into a market, and he goes and purchases a bag of lentil, right? You know what that is? You know what that is? You know the Bible word? Oh, you don't know? that's what they use Betrite now. They sold Betrite for. The soup, you know. It's in your Bible. Yeah, so let this work. So let me use one you know, right? And let me say rice. I went together, right? So you go buy a bag of rice. But that bag of rice is too heavy. Now, don't pick my example as literal. When you eventually say, I say, God say you are too heavy. No. Right? Because you don't want to carry that bag of rice to go and buy the remaining things you want to buy. You leave that bag of rice in the shop where you bought it from. Let's say Aldi. All together. Right? Okay, let me bring it down to UK. Let's say Aldi. Yeah? You buy a carton of crackers. Right? Or popcorn. Yeah, a big carton of popcorn. And you drop it. And you see how heavy it is. But you want to go to Tesco opposite the mall. And you don't want to, you know, go there and be carrying things into then coming out and everything. So you drop it with the attendant in Aldi and tell them that, oh, I'm going to be coming back to pick this, right? Let me quickly go and get some things in Tesco. You know you can do that. Okay? Yeah? And you go to Tesco, you buy whatever you want to buy, your hands are full, then you come back to Aldi because you want to pick the bus or take the tram or use your car from Aldi. Now, you go back into that store in Aldi, unfortunately for you, the lady or the person who was attending to you, her shift finished, or his shift finished. And you know, when your shift is about to finish, your mind is not on your work again. You're saying, You're saying, <"How> about... okay. Well. So, ideally, usually a lot of people. Right? And the person just saw that it was time for her to close, and she just picked her bag and she went home. Now, for you, when you collected your receipt, what did you do? You put the receipt in the carton and sealed it back. What was the reason for that? Simply because you didn't want to, don't take my example literally, okay? Simply because you didn't want to go to Tesco and misplace that receipt. Is that true?
Yeah.
So what do? You put it into the carton, then seal it back. You go to Tesco, you buy whatever you want to buy. You come back to Aldi, right? And when you get back to Aldi, what happens? The man who has taken over the shift, right, now says, I don't know you. You say, oh, I just came to pick what I bought. Don't forget, it's not like you say you will pay when you come back. You see, there's a difference. Yeah? It's not like this is the last word. Just keep it from me. Let me quickly go and come back, or let me go and get cash. He says, I've bought this already. So when the man starts arguing with you and says, no, that's right, yeah, no, that's not true. No, please, I don't like trouble. I'm just starting my shift. I have 12 hours to go. Right? I don't want anybody to disturb me. My journey is still far. Are we together? He now says, what I can do for you is I'll call my manager. Manager comes, and the manager too has been frustrated. He did two shifts. Altogether, the first person that closed, he was there at the beginning, and he stayed there at the end, you know, alpha and yeah. And eventually, you now say to him, I just came to pick what I bought. What does the manager need to ask you? What is the proof that you bought it? So what do you need to do? You just need to say confident. You see, when they start telling you, right, that, it might not be for you, we don't know you, yeah, is your heart, does your heart beat?
No.
Are you panting?
No.
Are you scared?
No.
What do you need to say? Just check on the inside. My receipt is there. And what happens? You just say check, I just start whistling. Yeah? And what happens? The manager gets a cutter and tears the cutter and sees your receipt there. Pay for. You see what I just explained to you? That's Ephesians 1, 13 and 14. So let's use that mindset and go back and read it. Right? In whom ye also trusted, after that ye heard the what? The word of truth. The gospel of the salvation. In whom also after ye believed, you were what? So, in regards to that carton, what's the seal? The receipt. Are we together? The receipt is the seal alongside the covering. Are we together? So, is there any point T or time T that luggage is not yours?
No.
When you travel, and you have to check in your luggage, what do they put on your bag? A seal. Are we together? Yeah? So when you know you stand, you know, when you stand on the, you know, the what do you call it?
Conveyor belt.
That's what I was looking for. Right? So when you stand on a conveyor belt, are you checking every bag to know your own? First of all, you know the color of your own. Are we together? Second of all, you know, sometimes you see people, your box is passing, you do like this. Right? And what are you checking? Your seal. Right? But people have now advanced. They know how to confidently take people's boxes that are not their own. So, you know, you can go into the conveyor belt just confidently, oh, my bag, I just pick it and roll. Nobody will check you. Are we together? But guess what? There's something that, for instance, Sister Stenza started using. It's called tracker. What tag? Is it? What does she do? She will just carelessly put it inside one zip, inside one zip, inside one zip. And just zip the bag, and that's all. And anywhere she is in the world, she knows where her bag is. So if you go to one airline, they tell you, maybe they notice they have food in your bag and they want to eat it. I tell you, your bag did not leave the destination, did not leave the origin. So people can be funny. And they just know there's food, they just say, your bag is still in the origin, or it didn't fly with this plane. What do you do? Just show them. This is my tag. The box said, the thing says under your table. I see it under your table. Should we go and check? You see the confidence you have because you have a seal.
Yes.
You see, that confidence, when it comes to God and the believer, the confidence is not for God though.
Mm-hmm.
It's for you the property.
Yes.
It's for you the box though. That you are sure you cannot be missing. You are sure they cannot misplace you. You are sure that nothing can say, oh, I was once. No, the seal is there. So you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. What did he say in verse 14? Which is the earnest, right? Of our what? Inheritance. That is the proof. Are we together? The proof. So the proof that box belongs to you is the seal. For the believer, the proof that you belong to God is his spirit. Are we together? Right? So he says, is the proof of our inheritance until the redemption of the what? That means the possession has been purchased already. By what? His blood. Right? So his possession, you as a possession have been purchased unto the praise of his glory. So if any, there's something every believer can boast about. What is that? The seal on the inside. Are we together? The seal on the inside. So there is no believer that lacks the seal. Because what makes you a believer is the seal. Are we together? What makes you a believer is the seal. What makes you God's possession is the seal. So what did Paul say? I will not have you to be ignorant about the seal. Is that correct?
Yes.
Is that correct?
Yes.
I will not have you to be ignorant regarding the seal. Now, let's take it a step further. Look at verse 15. Wherefore I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ and love unto all saints, I cease not to what? Give thanks for you, making mention of doing my prayer. So was Paul praying for the Ephesians?
Yes, sir.
Right? Yeah. So he says, I cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you my prayer. What is the prayer? Verse 17. That the God of the Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the what? The spirit of wisdom. Now, we said the spirit is sealed. Can we say the seal of the wisdom? Don't jump on it though. The way I ask it, it confuses you. Can we say that the spirit may give unto you the seal of wisdom?
No. What's that?
Okay, hold on. So, is there another spirit a believer needs?
No.
How many spirits does a believer need?
One.
When does the believer have the seal? Verse 13 or verse 17? Verse 13. After you what? Trusted and you believed. Are we together? So when the Bible now says, I pray that you receive the seal of wisdom. You know, some people sort of see that verse to mean it is another spirit called spirit of wisdom. So God has plenty of spirits. The spirit of wisdom, spirit of knowledge, spirit of understanding, spirit for hair growth, spirit for prosperity. Right? Then as you pray, what happens? My dear daughter, take that spirit. My dear son, take that spirit. Say, God, what did I receive? For hair growth. What did I receive? It's for knowledge. That will mean that verse 13 and 14 needs to be rewarded. To say, in whom when you trusted, you received one type of spirit. A type of spirit. But it says, when you trusted, you were sealed with that. Are we together? With that Holy Spirit. So, when you see spirit of wisdom there, a good way to read it is not as what another spirit, but actually the wisdom of the Spirit. So, what is Paul praying for them there? Another spirit or wisdom?
Wisdom.
Are we together? Wisdom of the Spirit, is that correct?
Yes.
How do you know it's the wisdom of the Spirit? He says, and the revelation in the knowledge of Him. So, what is he explaining? Revelation in the knowledge. 1 Corinthians says what? Revealed that we may know. Are we together? So what is Paul praying for the Ephesian church? That they may know. So you see the consistency of Paul praying for knowledge. So you see why knowledge is important? That's why you would need to laugh at someone who says the Christian faith is not about knowledge, knowing knowledge. It's laughable. Are we together? Yeah? It was that Jesus died. In our world today, we don't have record of anyone who is still alive that was there when Jesus was killed. So how do you know? Somebody gave you that knowledge. Are we together? Right? So your knowledge is, that's why Paul will write to the Corinthians and says, I will not have you to be ignorant. That means don't shun knowledge. The reason why you have believers operate less than believers is because they shun knowledge. Are we together? Yeah? The reason why you have believers operate less than who they are, knowledge is missing. So knowledge is vital. So Paul says, I pray that you have revelation in the knowledge of him. So spirit of wisdom there means revelation in knowledge of him or wisdom of the spirit. That means Paul is not praying for another spirit. Is that correct?
Mm-hmm.
He's praying for the wisdom of the spirit you already received in verse 13 and verse 14. He now goes further to explain what he means by revelation. He actually says that the eyes of your understanding, being what? That word enlightened means what? Opened. To see. That the eyes of your understanding, being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling, and what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the... So, where is the riches of the glory of his inheritance found?
In the saints.
Are you here, people of God? Where is the riches of the glory of his inheritance found?
In the saints.
In the saints. So, do you have an inheritance?
Yes.
Has God given you an inheritance?
Yes.
According to the riches of his glory. Where is that inheritance found? What exactly is the inheritance? The Spirit. All together. So the Spirit of God in you is the riches of his glory, of the glory of his inheritance. I'll say one more time. The Spirit of God in you is the riches of the glory of his inheritance. What did Paul say the believer should do with that? That ye may know. So can a man have the riches of the glory of God's inheritance in him and not know? Yeah. So what's most important for the believer?
Knowledge.
Are we together? If your knowledge about the inheritance of the Spirit of the riches of the glory of inheritance of inheritance in believer, if your knowledge about it is that it is partial, you will have a partial demonstration. Are we together? You will have a partial dispensing. So there is something called dispensing of the power. But you cannot dispense what you've not received. Praise God. How many of us go dispenser? You know that dispenser table water, right? Yeah. The only time water can be dispensed from that machine is when it receives water from a bottle. If you wanted that machine to dispense Coke, what would you do? Let Coke be poured into the reservoir. So, can a man actually lack? So, does a believer lack Coke?
No.
Okay, let me bring it down to earth. Let's use water. What did we teach about water last Sunday? What was water used to represent last Sunday? Spirit now. Yeah? When God sprinkles with clean water, what is that? He's giving you a new heart, a new spirit. That is what? His Spirit. Right? When God wants to, if you are thirsty, what does God give you? Water. What is the water? His Spirit. For a man to see the kingdom of God, what does he need? He needs to be born of water. That is to be born of the Spirit. Okay? So imagine you are the dispenser. Are we together? Right? Do you lack water? Can you lack water?
No.
Will you ever lack water?
No.
Can you be full of water and people don't get water from you?
Yes.
Yeah. So what do you need for water to flow from you as a dispenser? You need to what? You need to what? Okay, dispense. Are we together? That means you need to open. Open the valve. Turn on. Now, who turns on the dispenser?
Me.
You. You are the dispenser now.
Yeah.
Eh? So who turns on the dispenser?
Me.
Is you now. Is it the water? Water is Spirit. Is it the Father? No. The Father has put the water. The Father is, you know, representative of the water in you. Right? So who is needed for the water to come out? Is you. Okay. Let's take it differently. Why am I doing different examples? You will not miss it. Those of you that like aqua, I've used water for you. Those of you that like shopping, I've been shopping. Let's go to those that like electricity. Are we together? You see, power is supplied to this building. But the first person who steps into this room every Sunday morning needs a dark room. Are we together? When the darkness envelopes the room, does it mean there is no power available? Okay, so is there power every time?
Yes.
For part of the world, for part of what we are in, for instance, they don't take
light.
You should have said that one. You didn't know what I had to say. You fell for it. Right? So it means there is always. So if you want light to be in this room, what do? You flip the switch. If you don't, let me ask you a question. If you don't flip the switch, will there be light in this room?
No.
If you go there and you are praying in tongues and understanding, are we together? Do you need to dissipate that energy?
No.
So it means that when a believer needs to minister the things of the Spirit, he doesn't need to pray, Lord, I want to minister. What does he need to do? He needs to minister. What is ministry? Flipping the switch, opening the valve. Is that correct?
Yes.
So you don't. It's not a prayer point. Lord, I want to be ministry. No. It is, you need to know what you have, then you flow with what you have. I'm talking about the things of the Spirit, though. Right? So Paul says that. That your eyes of understanding may be enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling, that you may know what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints. Now look at verse 19. That you may know what, again, let's read verse 19 together. 1, 2, 3, go.
What
is the exceeding greatness of the
glory?
Are we here? Are we here? Verse 19, 1, 2, 3, go. Okay. Let's read it together again. 1, 2, 3, go. And what is the exceeding greatness of his power to us what we believe according to the working? Okay? So, the exceeding greatness of his power was towards who? The one who what? Believes. Okay? So, it means that the greatest display of God's power was towards who?
The one who believes.
The man who believes. Are we together?
Yes.
So when you think of power, who do you look for? When you think of power on the earth, who do you look for?
The believer.
The believer. Are we together? Right? When you think of the exceeding greatness of God's power, who do you look for? You look for the believer. So what do you have? How can you summarize it? With this context, how do you summarize what you have? With this context, what do you have? You have power. Are we together? Right? What do you really have? The Spirit. But that you have the Spirit, what do you have? That means there is no believer that is powerless. That means there's no believer that lacks power. You only see believers who have not practiced the art or know about how to flip the switch. You know, in your bedroom, in your house, in your living room, how you flip the switch is not the way you flip the switch in this auditorium. I hope you know, right, that I can leave a lot of you in this room to put on the light of this room when we come on Sunday, and you will struggle for 40 minutes. Are we together? Because what we have there is not a flip. But what do you need to be able to come in another Sunday and do it in less than 10 seconds?
No.
So it means that believers can come in on Sunday, and if, for instance, the Sunday, some of you come who have never used that light before. Right? You see, I'll tell you something. You see this AC in this room? This time last year, right? Just towards summer last year. We'll come into the auditorium. The AC will be breathing and we'll be sweating. You remember that period? We'll come in, the thing will do like it's blowing breeze and we'll be sweating. Like, it got to the time we had to open the window. You know what happened? It was a single button that needed to be changed from fan to cooling. We called the reception people, day to day, they don't know. Are we together? The first one came, they touched, we just see that. They went back. The second one came, they touched. Three of them came, they touched. They said they will call the company. But you see, one day I just went there, I just touched it there. I'm not saying this is Rema. But you see, I just got there. I just said, like, ah, this should be able to be this, that, you know, study electrical electronics engineering. And I just saw a button that just said fan heating cooling. And I tapped on the fan and I saw it was even on heating. I put it on cooling. It didn't take 5 minutes afterwards, everywhere was cold. Knowledge. So you can be in a place where AC is made available and you are sweating. You can be in this room. You know what will happen eventually that Sunday if it happens? That none of everybody that is around in church does not know how to use how to put on that thing. You know, you open the window. You open the window and you put your eye like this. Because of what?
Knowledge.
So the Bible says that Paul says, so you see why it's a valuable prayer that you may know. That's why we never exhaust that prayer as long as you are alive. Paul did not say, I prayed for you once and that's the end. He says, I cease not to make mention of you. I cease not to give thanks for you. Making mention, that means Paul did it continuously. That means you will finish having a believer's meeting for yourself right now. People demonstrating in the ability and the supernatural abilities of the Spirit on their inside. After that, you can still go and pray that your eyes of understanding will be enlightened. That you may know what is the exceeding greatness. Let me explain that exceeding greatness for you. If you want to kill a cockroach or an ant, for instance, what do you need? Your leg? Are we together? Okay? So even if it's on the wall, your leg? So, okay, slippers. You want to kill cockroach, what do you use? Slippers. Some of you use hand to kill cockroach. Okay, boom. I thought it's hand. Some of you just pick the cockroach like this and just carry it outside and say, leave. Right? So you need something small. You know, imagine if we wanted to lift this up and 10 of us had to gather to carry it. What are we doing? We're doing what? We are dispensing more than the power required. Are we together? Imagine you wanted to kill a cockroach and you're just looking at the cockroach. You now went on Amazon. You now started buying tractor. They say tractor is 2.5 million pounds. You click pay, delivery next day. And you keep watching the cockroach. Then they use 3 cars to deliver the tractor. Then they ask, what do you want to do with the tractor? Your house looks very beautiful. You say, I want to kill one cockroach. Do you do that? What are you looking for? Something that is over the bar. You know how when you want to do shoot bow and arrow, are we together? What do? You pull, then release. The strength and the extent of power you use to pull will determine the what? Velocity and speed. Are we together? Are we together?
Yes.
Right? So imagine you want to get your dart into one of those, maybe just something in front of this wall here. You can as well do this and it will get there. You can as well ask people to be dragging your hand or buy a machine that can elongate. And when you release it, what happens? It beats. Imagine I want to throw my phone to you. Then put it down. Because I've mistakenly thrown it before. I've been in church before, not to give an example. I mean, I just let me hold my phone. So, and I just saw that the phone cracked. I had to fix my eyes on Jesus. And it was a new phone. Let me put it down so I will not make mistakes. So imagine I wanted to throw. You did not still get the example. Imagine I want to throw the phone to you. She's here. I want to throw my phone to her. Right? And I do like this. Will she be looking at me? What is that? Exceeding greatness. That means I'm using a power that is not required. That means there's a minimum extent of power that can be used to communicate the point, but I went above and beyond. So the exceeding greatness of God's power was towards who? The believer. That means when you think about the death and the resurrection of Jesus, that's a display of the exceeding greatness of God's power towards you, who he is. So Paul will say that your eyes of understanding may be enlightened. that ye may know what is the hope of his calling, and what is the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power to us who believe, according to the working of what? His powerful power, his mighty power. So the believer has power on his inside. The believer has power on his inside. The believer is powerful. Say, I'm powerful.
Powerful.
Are we together? So I'm powerful.
Powerful.
Are we here? Say, I'm powerful.
I'm powerful.
Say, I'm full of power.
Full of power.
Say, God's spirit is on my inside. Say, I do not lack power.
I do not lack power.
So Paul says that you may know what is the exceeding greatness of his power, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in what? Heavenly places. Are we together? In the heavenlies, what he has done to resurrect Christ Jesus was a demonstration of his power. That's why you see as a church, when we sing that song, oh Lord my God, when I'm in awesome wonder, consider all the works that hand has made. I see the stars, I see the new creation. Yet we've amended it. I see the stars, I see the rolling thunder. So, is it good to talk about the rolling thunder and the skies and the stars and everything that God has made? Oh, well, it's good. All around scriptures written around there, both those used for literal and those used for, you know, supernatural communications as well. But you see, much more than that for the believer is to communicate what God has done for you. So we sing it as, I see your church, I see the new creation, because we are the demonstration or the evidence and proof of the exceeding greatness of God's power on the earth. So when man looks for power, what should man look for? Another believer. You see, these are the things that the believer needs to understand, and it will make you operate in a different level, with a different understanding, that you have an advantage. The truth is that believers have an advantage on the earth. Wait, you see an accident happening right in front of you and you're not there. What is that? What is that? Others can't see it. You saw it. You can see. What is that? An advantage. You see, the power of the Holy Ghost on your inside is for an advantage. It is a silo. Yes, so. But because you have that, you have an advantage. You have an advantage. I remember a couple years ago, this was 2015 or 2016, I was working doing an internship somewhere. You know, and one of my managers had called me and said, let's quickly go to the airport and come back. Right? And we got into the car. And whilst we were about to set out, I saw an accident. Right? I saw an accident. But it was difficult to communicate that to him because he was a Muslim. I was together. So we got into the car, right? And we got to the airport. They were coming back. But what I did throughout the meeting, or throughout that drive, was I was talking in tongues. And as we're about 10 minutes away from the office, I saw the exact car I saw in a vision. Do you understand? Like, I saw the exact car. So it was a conversation of the car was ahead of us, then we overtook the car. I saw the car. I saw the make, the color of the car. I know what I told the driver. I just said, stay on the left lane. I knew if I start speaking English, you know, I can say in the spirit of. Before we finish, you will see in heaven. Before you finish understanding. And I just said, stay on the left lane. And you've heard me share this thing before, right? I said, stay on the left lane. And so there are three lanes and an extra lane. And I said, stay on the left lane, close to the car. That was the first time I saw this kind of accident, where a car in front of us, a car behind us, and a car beside us had an accident. He didn't touch our car. He didn't touch the car. I don't know how it happened, but I'm sure. So this is me thinking in my logical. It's not logic that gave me that knowledge. But you know, as human beings, you want to ask, how did it happen? See, there are some supernatural experiences that will happen. You cannot explain. That is why when a believer looks down on experiences, you are. See, your Christian faith by default is an experience. That you are born again comes with an experience. Jesus went through an experience to give us experiences. The only thing I could understand happened was that for the car by my side and the car behind us, maybe the guy behind us wanted to dodge from hitting us, right? And you know, but there's no space for him to dodge. He has only one option to turn, right? And that guy too was confused. I don't know how to explain it, but I remember very well. I came down from the car and saw the three cars around us. with a pillar. We saw it ahead. Are we together?
Yes.
We saw it ahead. So it means you can go on a journey and know ahead what will happen. Mm-hmm. It's an advantage. It's an advantage. You can see things happen. You see, over the years, I've seen experiences happen before they happen. I've been in situations where I see people do certain things in a vision, and I see the clothes they wear. I see the words they say. Right? That can happen to every and should happen to every believer. You see, you've got to put yourself in a place where you have experiences in the experience you have in being a believer. There are things that comes with it. There are things that have come with the fact that you have the Spirit. Number one, to summarize it, is you have power. You have power. You are full of power. You are full of power. So Paul says, don't be ignorant about it. 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 You know, you can be in your office and supply help to a confusing state just because you have power on your inside. You know, you can see someone crying in your office and go and speak to them and minister God's power to them. You see, don't live your life carelessly. This life is too dangerous to live carelessly. Do you hear what I'm saying? This life is too dangerous to live carelessly. Yes, you know, one of the things that I found out in our world is that we like to take things extreme. Now, they've taught you that God's power is on your inside. That's the powerful power of God's power. You know, people say there's no, people don't do witchcraft. There's nothing like witchcraft. And there's a place I will take you to. I'll leave you there for 2 days. Not 2 days. You will come out victorious because they've taught you the right authority. But you will never in your life. Never. This life as a whole. I've not seen situation. I'm not thinking about the things that God has said to you through the lips of other believers and believers with him. I was together. You know, sometimes I hear some, you know, some I get ministered to by others, right? And when I now see those things that were said happen, I'm like, oh my goodness. And this was said. And this was said. And that was said. That's why you see, when words are spoken to you in meetings like we're going to have just now, don't just be saying, I tell you for free, once you eat that KFC there, it will leave your mind. Why should you leave believers meeting? They told you about the name of your friend. You're not saying, I was going to tell my friend again. No. You what? You take your writing materials, you write it down. And I'm not saying write it down so people can see you're writing, because some of us, the things we do, just writing. What are you writing? There's a brother who was one of these that I was teaching one day, and it was dozing. I knew he was dozing. So sometimes when you see me raise my voice, I'm talking to somebody who's sleeping. I'm giving you the scope. So when you just say, I'm God! I'm talking to somebody who was sleeping. It's not because I like to shout. My approach is to pain me. One of the best ways to communicate it is just to. That's what I did for. He was sitting down somewhere around there. I just need his hands. What are you writing? Which vision did you have? He just said this. What are you writing? Yeah? So don't just allow yourself to get carried away in the meeting that you are. God will speak. Do you believe God speaks?
Yes,
in case you don't know, I can tell you for free that God speaks. Do you know what it is for a believer to be able to be well prepared ahead of time? That this is what is going to happen. That is what is going to happen. That this is what is going to happen. You know, that's something I see in a believer's meeting. Or when we're in ministry, for instance. We give details about people. And we say some things that people didn't even know. You see an example of making mention of somebody who, you know, tell the details of who the person is, mention different details about the person, and eventually now mention something that the person did not even know. Right? That is what the believer can do. So go back to 1 Corinthians 12 while we close this morning on that. First Corinthians 12. All right, I mean verse 1. Now concerning what? Spirituals. Brethren, I will not have you to be ignorant. Now look at verse 4. Now there are what? Diversities of gifts, but the what?
The same Spirit.
There are diversities of gifts, but what? The same Spirit. Look at verse 5. There are differences of administration, but the same Lord. Verse 6. There are diversities of operations, but it is the same God that worketh all in all. So, what is there's a word that is consistent in verse 4, verse 5, and 6. The word what? Same. So, what is responsible for the diversity, differences, and the manifestation? The same God, that is the same Spirit, that is the same Lord. So, which of them do you need before you operate in any of the gifts of the Spirit? You just need the God, the Lord. You just need the Spirit. You just need God. So, do you have God?
Yes.
Do you have a Spirit?
Yes.
On your inside?
Yes.
Right? You see, one of the things you just need to understand is how do we communicate these things. I was talking to a believer a couple months ago, and you know, this was just telling me how, she was saying, I used to have deja vu. You know what they call deja vu? Right? I'm like, you are a believer. You are seeing things ahead. What you decide to call it in deja vu. You know why you can't blame them? They lack what? Knowledge. You see, he said, and sometimes I just go to the office, and because even an example, she had started working in a new office or something like that, and you know, she had gone into the office, and she just knew some of her colleagues, and she just knew their name. I'm like, oh, I just had a deja vu. You just imagine, you just say, Stephanie. Who is Stephanie? Yes, sir. Well, I saw that name. 3 times, deja vu. You know, you just need to be very sensitive because God is always speaking. The problem a lot of us have is that we want God to tell us what we want to hear. Some of us, they allow you, go and tell God what you want him to tell you. You will tell God, I want you to tell me that this is my husband. If you have that ability, you will do it. You want to tell God what you want to hear. What about fighting your spirit, fighting your heart more to receive from God's Spirit? What about growing in knowledge, knowing about it? What about knowing about the events ahead of time? Are we together? You know, you can have experiences in your Christian walk. You hear people say things like, somebody said, now the truth is that we subject experiences to God's word. But that is not to say we will not have experiences. People walk through the sea. That's Old Testament. Like Old Testament, they had so much experiences. And we, that we say, we are the new. All the experience we have is tongues. Dear saints, there is more. 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 What do you think happened to Paul? What do you think happened to Paul? Meets with Jesus, goes into a vision. And he starts praying and fasting for 3 days. You see, yes, we know there's a life of consecration that is required. And that's the truth. That's the truth. There's a life of consecration required. Even in this generation, if you're a member of this church, you're still fighting about fasting. They need to check your stomach. Because it says a lot about you. No, but we don't fast again. Christ has done all the fasting for us. What it is. All we need to do is just to receive. Yeah? See, the word receive means lambano. But from the Greek root word lamb. Lamb and ano. When it means together is lambano, it means to receive. So Christ has fasted for you. You don't fast, you don't pray. I don't pray. You know when we will pray like this and not their head, they just pray like, no, I don't pray. I just put my hand in my pocket and just say, don't dear. don't dear. I just want to say, you know, you see people, they say you are coming for 10 hours prayer. You are giving thanks in the one first hour. What are you thanking for? That God brought you to that place safely. Your prayer will be answered in advance. You say you're doing for 10 hours prayer, and I say, Lord, I just want to give you praise. I don't give you all the glory. You've not done 30 minutes. Are we together? There's a time and there's a place of consecration. But let me tell you something, right? It is not the consecration that produces the power. The consecration only makes you more sensitive to the power. Are you with me? Yeah? When Peter and John will be leaving, they're going to the gate of beautiful, right? Or the gate of beautiful, whatever it is, right? Right? It wasn't that the Bible says they were going to pray. Yes, we know that. What you must get from that knowledge that they had a practice of praying consistently at a particular time. It wasn't their prayer that gave them the power to get that lame man to stand. Mm-hmm. But their prayer only fine-tuned. You know, there's something called spiritual frequency. Are we together? Mm-hmm. Yeah, there's something called spiritual. It's just like your radio. You know how your radio, you can be flipping your radio from 88.9, 88.2, 88.3, 99.1, until you pick one clear. You know that sometimes you pick a clear station, but you have passed it, you have to go back. Mm-hmm. See, that's the way the things of the spirit work. So what does prayer and those fasting and those devotion, meditation, what does it do for you? It just makes you sensitive to tune yourself more. To tune yourself more. Right? Yeah, there's some things I see, and when I see it, I just know that your heart has been fed with something wrong. If you watch TV, watch movies, more than you spend time in the world, more than you spend time listening to God, more than you spend time praying, the day we come and do believers' meeting is still the things of the movies you'll be analyzing. What am I saying to you today? Dear saints, you see, don't allow your tongue adaptation to always end with one edification. Some people, once you just call it like this, fear. I see fear. 10 years of ministry, everybody that comes around you, I see fear. Because you should not be fearful. Because you should not be fearful for 10 years. Everything, fear, fear, fear. After maybe 10 years, you now go and do research, you do vocabulary change, you go and do synonym of fear. Trepidation. I see trepidation. You do for another 10 years. You see, it just shows you've not eaten as much. You know, it is the wealth of knowledge you have from an understanding of a language that will aid your communication from that language. Are we together? Yeah. If some of us, all we know in French is bonjour, I can tell you for free, if you go to France today, all you will say is bonjour. Somebody will ask you a question, are you going? You say bonjour. Have you eaten? You say bonjour. Why? Because the knowledge you have, what you fed your heart with, that's only what you can produce. So Paul now says, there are diversities of operations, but the same spirit, manifestation of the spirit, is given to every man to profit without. Now look at verse 8. Let me now show you what we're going to do today. For to one is given by the spirit, the word of wisdom. And to another, the word of what?
Knowledge.
By the what? You see, what is consistent all the way from verse 4? Same. So by the word, to another, right? The word of wisdom, to another, the word of knowledge, by the same spirit. To another, faith. Are we together? Faith by the same spirit, to another, the gift of healing, to another, the working of miracles, to another, prophecy, another, discerning of spirits, to another, diverse kinds of tongues, to another, interpretation of tongues. Do you know some people don't know that the gifts of the spirit are this much? How will you know? Where all you know is 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. 6, 7, 8. 8. How will you know that those people, if you ask what are the gifts of the spirit, will tell you political establishment, financial freedom, gifts of the spirit. Why? Because we don't give ourselves our attention to the knowledge of God's word. How many did Paul list in 1 Corinthians 12? 9. Let's list them together one after the other. 1, 2, 3, go number 1. God's palace, 1, 2, 3, go number 1. Word of wisdom. Number 2. Number 3, faith. Number 4, gifts of healing. Number 5, working of miracles. Number 6, number 7, number 8, tongues. Number 9, you know, some believers, all they know is tongues, and they don't know the meaning 8. What is responsible for tongues for the believer? The spirit. What is responsible for interpretation of tongues? So when you speak in tongues and you need interpretation, what do you pray for? What do you pray for? Did you say nothing?
Not the spirit.
So So if you've spoken in tongues and you want to interpret it, what's your prayer point? Okay, you've spoken in tongues, right? And you want to minister by word of knowledge and word of wisdom. What do you pray to God to give you?
Nothing.
That's what I'm asking. Nothing. Are we together? Nothing. So the spirit you have in you, responsible for tongues, is the exact spirit that you need that is responsible for interpretation of tongues. So, can you speak in tongues?
Yes.
Can you interpret your tongues?
Yes.
Yes, you can. Let me tell you, interpretation of tongues, I'm going to teach it in detail in the next few weeks. There is tongues, there's interpretation of tongues. Interpretation of tongues is not translation of tongues. It's not like you say, opranemoshita fanemosivinemaka. And you want to ensure that every word you say replicates each of, no. That's why it's called interpretation. I'm going to teach it so that's very soon. It's just to govern and give direction. Are we together? It's not tongues and translation. It's tongues and interpretation. Are we together? So if someone comes to you and maybe you don't understand their language, and what they are saying is different, and they're just doing like this, what is the interpretation of that?
Go
now. Do you understand? You don't need to translate the exact vocabulary that's coming out from their mouth. But you get the point. You see, I trust and believe that this series that we're doing will make and enable each and every one of you to function yet more in the things of the Spirit. Right? Because it's something that you need. It's something that you have. And it's something that you need to experience. So Paul says tongues. So let me give you a quick rundown on that. I'll go back into that later. So Paul says, word of wisdom, word of knowledge. Now, what is word of wisdom? Summarily, word of wisdom just really means bringing facts from the future into the present to give direction for the future. Are you here? Word of wisdom, bringing facts or things about the future into the present to give direction for the future. What is word of knowledge? Bringing facts from the past into the present. Bringing facts from the past into the present. Are we together? So if I say, for instance, whose name is Stephanie, or who is Stephanie, it's not the moment I say who is Stephanie that person's name became Stephanie. That's a fact. Are we together? Now there's word of wisdom. And word of wisdom will teach that you are going to give direction to help based on the facts you gave. So for every word of knowledge you have, you should not end at word of knowledge. Because word of knowledge just provides information more often than not. Then word of wisdom will what? Give direction. So there's tongues. Are we together? There's interpretation of tongues. We said it is not translation of tongues. There is tongues, there's interpretation of tongues. Then there's prophecy. Are we together? Right? Then there's word of wisdom, there's word of knowledge, there's what? Gift of faith. Word of wisdom, word of knowledge. Are we together? Right? Then there's gift of faith. Now the gift of faith is basically to speak about, you know, that expression and demonstration of faith as a gift. Right? Then it says, the gift of healing. Now, gift of healing is more of restoring back. Are we together? Someone has a health issue, for instance. The gift of healing in operation means that that health issue started at the point. You are restoring it back to normal. Working on miracle means somebody did not have a limb when they were born. Right? And that limb grew out. Are we together? Are we together? Someone did not have a wound. Are we together? And, you know, despite the supernatural power of God, gave birth to a child. That's what? Working of miracles. Someone had malaria before and they had a cough before or something, and you lay hands on them and they get healed. What's that? Gifts of healing. Then there's tongues, there's interpretation. Are we together? You see, all of these things, every believer can function in them. Please take me offline. All of these things, every believer can function in them.